Welcome to the Toolbox with our hosts Joe Mangi and
the Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
You're tuned in to 97.7 WVFF. This is the Toolbox. I'm your host Joe Mangi, aka Joe. That's all the AKAs I got. I don't know any other ones. But I'm here with my co-host, main host, side host, the Raven. Today's going to be a two-part series on, oh man, we didn't even come up with a title. I guess just fancy cars. Fancy car features? Fancy cars. I did fancy cars.
Modern and classic.
But,
because I didn't do the same fancy cars you did.
Yeah, I did two modern manufacturers of just the pinnacle of, I want to say fanciness, but I know fancy people don't call it fanciness. Elegance.
Elegance, that's, yeah, that's what a lot of my, I picked three and that's what kept popping up is that they were the pinnacle of elegance.
But I guess I do got some news before getting into that. So Hoonigan has filed for bankruptcy, right?
Didn't they already break up?
No. So I guess they got bought by like a hedge fund or something, and a lot of people left Hoonigan.
Yeah, that's probably what you're telling me.
That's probably why they filed for bankruptcy. But guess what? They're over $1 billion in debt.
How?
I don't know. I thought they just sold T-shirts and made YouTube videos. What? I don't understand how you could go in.
How they kept spending money if they didn't have money to spend?
I don't know. I don't understand how. How many T-shirts did they buy for $1 billion? Lifetime supply of t-shirts.
Yeah, I don't even think there's enough people for that.
Oh, and so on a less like sad topic, Lamborghini, there's a new Lamborghini coming out. It's called the Rivolto.
Rivolto?
I guess it means like chaos or something in Italian. Has a 6.5 liter V12 with over 800 horsepower. Starting price, $604,000. They'll be dropping mine off in a week. last one, which I just wrote this down on the way here.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobcat, you know they make skid steers?
Yeah.
They're going to sell a backhoe in the North American market. Apparently they've been selling backhoes for like
everywhere
10 years.
Else except for there.
I don't even think you could buy a backhoe in any other... A backhoe in any other country, a bobcat in any other country. Not like a large feline, like a little skid steer thing.
Ooh.
I want one.
Yeah.
Dear Santa, bring me a bobcat.
And you can park it next to your Rivolto Lamborghini.
Yeah, yeah. The both of those are coming in the mail. Mm-hmm. I paid a...
Express shipping?
I paid in Apple gift cards. That's all I had for the news.
What's today's episode even called?
I just wrote down fancy features.
We can go with the fancy features.
Yeah, so I picked a couple of new manufacturers. I picked Rolls-Royce because you have to. And I also picked Maybach. I'm going to say Maybach.
I think Maybach sounds like something from Star Wars.
I mean, if any like millionaires want to call up and tell me how to pronounce it, feel free. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna say Maybach. But anywho, yes. Sorry, we're dragging. We stayed up like way too late. We watched the Last Grand Tour last night.
It's so sad. Why they ended.
When Clarkson
unplugged. I want them to come back and like do their own private show.
Well, they already.
Because they do each of them separately do their own private show, but I want them to do a private show together with the three of them.
Oh, like the Grand Tour.
But not the Grand Tour, like doing something else.
They need to make a part two
like
of them
Clarkson
gardening.
Like how Clarkson has his farm, yeah, like something like that. Like.
Top Gear Ground Force, make a comeback. Well, so Maybach, for when your Mercedes isn't fancy enough. This German manufacturer is known, oh geez, I can't even read my handwriting, This German manufacturer. It is because I'm left-handed. I'm left-handed, but I'm red-eyed.
He's just crooked.
This German manufacturer is known for taking top-of-the-line Mercedes and turning them up to 11. The Mercedes Maybach S680 is best based on the S-Class platform. It's fast. It's real fast on it.
Fast.
But this one has a longer wheelbase, base MSRP of $234,000. But if you have more money to spend, you know, they'll take it. You can have one of these, or you can have all these options. You get a rear refrigerator, only $1,000. And it's like a big, like, actual fridge.
Or you go to Walmart and get a mini fridge and plug it into the cigarette lighter. Do they even have a cigarette lighter?
I don't know.
That's probably...
If you're smoking cigs... You're smoking cigs in the back of a Maybach?
No, they'd be smoking cigars from Cuba.
Oh, man. That's how you know you've made it. If you're smoking cigs in the back of a Maybach. Smoking red 100s.
Oh, God.
Another option they got is the Executive Rear Seat Plus.
What does that even mean?
So, the seats massage. They recline. The rear seats.
What?
Yes.
They recline into the trunk?
No, these cars are big.
I'm going to need to look up the picture.
Oh, man. It just looks like a Mercedes. But, yeah, so the rear seats recline. Mm-hmm. They massage. You got tables that fold down. They're so fancy. The plus pack for the seats is an extra $6,000.
Jesus.
I really couldn't find out what the normal seats do.
Probably nothing.
You don't even get seats.
They just an empty box back there.
But they got, other S-Class Maybach features are an augmented reality function.
So it's basically, if you're not getting the added features, they're looking at you like a goon.
You got to. And this blew my mind. So I was like, what are they talking about, augmented reality? Like that, you know, that doesn't even make any sense. But anywho, it's for the navigation. It will display floating navigation arrows on the windshield. So, like, you don't even have to look at a screen. It shows it on the windshield as you're driving.
Because that's not distracting.
I mean, you won't miss your turn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, that's probably the same people who made that are the same people who, when GPS first came out, those were the people who were driving off of cliffs because they said the GPS said turn that way. I was just following the arrow.
I don't think you'll have that problem in a Maybach because you're paying for a fancy chauffeur.
Oh.
You know? I don't think anyone who owns a Maybach, like, drives it in the front seat. But if you're a chauffeur, you won't be missing any turns. It also has, it'll also display, like, the road names and stuff on the windshield.
In case you can't
see. In your field of view, so you don't have to take your eyes off the road.
So you don't even have to look for where you're going.
Puts an arrow on it, on the windshield. And I thought the Corvette's heads-up display was neat. And it only shows, like, how fast you're going. Yeah. So that's, like, way cooler. I want to see what that's like.
Like, that's just a distraction and an accident waiting to happen.
Oh, man. It'd be so sick. You'd probably watch YouTube on it.
Yeah, I guess. That's not a hazard.
But, so, speaking of Maybachs, the outside of these cars are understated. But the luxury on the inside is hard to beat. Something else that makes these handcrafted interiors the peak of automotive luxury. Oh, why did I cross it out? The peak of automotive luxury, apart from... Oh, okay. I just don't know how to write. Apart from the Napa leather throughout, it's not the real wood trim.
It's
It's not the silver champagne flutes or wireless chargers built into the armrests. Mm-hmm. So you need to plug your phones in. It just does it automatically.
On the armrest.
You know what sets it apart?
What?
It's the temperature-controlled cup holders. It will keep your cold drink cold or your hot drink hot. I don't know how they do it. I would have never even thought that was an option.
I could get behind the cold one, but imagine getting your cup of coffee and the outside of your cup is 80 degrees. So not only is the liquid on the inside hot, but also the cup exterior.
I mean, if it was me, I put some raviolis in it. Have it cook the raviolis while you drive it.
Yeah, I mean... what if it works like a microwave and you can't put metal stuff in it?
Just like explodes raviolis on the inside of the Maybach. What happened?
Where's my GPS?
What did you do? I don't know. It just did that.
I just wanted ravioli.
Well, yeah, so those cup holders, I put it could keep your coffee hot
mm-hmm.
or your iced coffee cold. Because I don't know what fancy people drink.
They would just put ice in itself in the cup holder.
Just a block of ice?
Just a block of ice.
I wonder if you could do, like, the front cup holder a different temperature than the one right behind it. I didn't look into that.
That'd be fun to play with.
Yeah, like, who comes up with that? But anywho, yeah, so all that aside,
mm-hmm.
I think the rear seats are the best part. You know, we already spoke that they recline.
Yeah.
They're heated.
Massage.
They're cooled with massaging everywhere, yeah. including your calves. They'll massage your calves.
So wait, is this like a bench seat?
No, it's like two.
Picturing, so it's like you get the chair and then you have your legs on the floor. And so then like
You got footrest that comes up.
This is like a recliner.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so you sit down in these, and that's another thing. You know, you sit down in those seats.
Mm-hmm.
What if you forget to close the door? You know?
Yeah.
You don't have to get up.
No.
You don't even have to hit a button. You wave your hand, and it will automatically close the door.
What if you have Tourette's?
Softly and latched. That's terrible. Well, the doors are going to close, I guess.
Do they open the same way?
I hope not. I'm pretty sure they thought...
Imagine Cammy in the back seat of one of those.
It'd be terrible. That is my nightmare. A child damaging the back of a Maybach. Going off topic.
You can afford one. You probably don't care if it does or doesn't.
My heart dropped when she ran up to that custom Land Rover, the one that was $300,000.
Oh, yeah. She
came running up, crummy fingers, with a price tag of more than the house. I was like, no, don't touch that.
She does not understand the value of anything.
I mean, I don't understand how they're so expensive.
If she can get her hands on it, it's fair game.
It's hers.
This is just Cammy's world.
Oh, that's up, man. I didn't even do an outro for Maybach. Jeez. But yeah, that's all I had for Maybach. I was at a loss for words at the not even hitting a button to close the door.
If it's like a certain movement you have to make. Because again,
it's you pointing at the chauffeur like.
I mean, again, what if somebody in the backseat's got Tourette's?
I don't think they'll open.
No, you think it can?
I mean, honestly,
the car can realize what an incorrect hand wave is. I don't even know how to say that without that.
Yeah. What if you just got road rage in the back? Just opening and closing the door. I mean, honestly, on the back of a Maybach, they could probably get rid of the inside door handles altogether. Because you know that chauffeur has to come out and open the door for you.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to get out of the car. He can just wave his hands.
He's too busy looking at the augmented reality windshield.
He's just waving his hands inside and out.
What are you doing? I do think that option's only for the rear doors, too.
Oh, okay. So the chauffeur has to open his own door.
Oh, you got to open your own door, peasant.
That's so mean.
Well, and imagine being the chauffeur and having to explain that. Like, you get in and you do little jazz hands.
Ah, what about
the old grumpy guy in the back's like, what are you doing up there?
What about if when the officer pulls you over and you got to put your hands on the steering wheel, but you accidentally shake your hands because you're scared and the doors start opening?
Close that door! Oh, my God.
Just freak out the officer.
It's possessed, officer. This car was speeding. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. It was doing its own thing. I don't even drive it.
That's terrible. I was just having some champagne in the fridge here.
Think, though, like, that'd be the easiest way to get out of a ticket, a possessed vehicle that you could prove is possessed.
Oh, I thought it was just being really rich.
Oh, well,
I think that's the trick.
I mean, if you're a confused female in a vehicle, that seems to have worked for me, so.
Officer, I don't know. I sat down and the door's closed. Next thing I know, you're pulling me over.
Yeah. I don't even know how I got here, sir.
I was taking a nap in the massage seats.
Oh, my God. It's like the Tesla cars driving themselves back to the dealership.
James May said self-driving cars have been around for years. They're called taxis. What kind of fancy cars do you got?
Okay, so I picked a few of them, and I can tell you right now, I didn't look up any of the info that you did. I picked completely different topics.
Well, and I only picked two. You know, I did Maybach and Rolls.
Yeah.
And these are really hard to find options for, because apparently they just do whatever you want.
Again,
so
if I'm spending $500,000 on a vehicle, I better get to pick everything.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of boxes to tick, you know? I couldn't even find the boxes that you can tick. All I found was the fridge and the plus seat pack.
Yeah, see, if you were rich, you wouldn't be doing it in the first place. You'd have paid somebody else to do it for you.
You would have paid the salesman to sell you it.
Yeah.
And then write it off on your taxes.
Pretty much.
That's where they get you. That sounds way better. I've never bought a new car, so I don't understand how any of it works. All I know from buying new cars is when it comes in wrong, it's your fault. I've seen that happen a few times.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, my dad's bought a few new cars. He's always been the one to do it. My mother's never done it. He's always gone in and talked to the salesman and picked out the vehicles, and he does... He was so funny. I remember him taking me to the dealership as a kid, and he did this thing. Was it bartering?
What's the best you could do?
Pretty much. He was like, well, if you add in this feature.
I'm talking cash. Bumper to bumper.
I swear, I literally think so. Like, as a kid, I honestly had no idea what was going on. I just had fun climbing in and out of these vehicles.
There was a weird podcast I listened to about, like, car salesman or something. It was like an NPR thing on like the life of car salesman.
Yeah.
Apparently, if insider tip right here, if you're looking to buy a new car, buy it towards the end of the month. You'll get a better deal.
Why?
Because they have like quotas they're supposed to make. So like a lot of new car dealerships will sell the cars at or below the MSRP. Because if they sell X amount, like if you sell 30, you know, brand new Dodges or whatever, then the factory will give you, like, a bonus, mm-hmm. and it'll make up for it. So, if they haven't reached about the end of the month, you go be like, hey, trying to get a scat pack.
I think it's ridiculous to buy brand new cars. All you gotta do is wait 5 years, and then they toss them all out, and then you can get them for half the price.
I wish enclosed trailers worked like that. I've been trying to buy an enclosed trailer for, like, months, but... An old beat-up enclosed trailer missing fenders with holes in it is $2,000 for some reason.
Literally, at this point, you're just going to have to build one yourself.
I know, but I don't want to do that.
I mean,
it's going to fall off while it's going down the road.
No.
It's gonna be like the Beverly Hillbillies.
No, it'll just weigh 3,000 pounds when you're done.
Yeah, I won't be able to pull it. It's just a house. It's like two motorcycles with a house in the middle.
Oh my God. I can't even remember where that's from anymore, but I laugh every time we say it.
It'd be like that episode of Drake and Josh, like in the trailer, all boarded up. Where's the door?
I drew it right there. You did cut the hole. Oh my God. Okay, let's get back on topic. So for my first car, I picked a Duesenberg.
Love it.
I pronounced that right?
Yeah.
Duesenberg. Okay.
I'm already ready to go on a tangent about Duesenbergs.
Well, let me go on my tangent first, and then you can go on your tangent. Because I probably have some information in here that you don't even know.
I don't know nothing about Duesenbergs except for one fact.
Nobody tells me nothing.
Nobody tells me nothing.
Okay. In 1913, two German-American brothers created the company. They were self-taught engineers, like yourself.
Oh, I claim to be an engineer every day until something breaks. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Why would you listen to me in the first place? Like, this is what you need to do. And they're like, how do you know that? I'm like, oh, I really don't know. I don't know that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. But the cars that they made, they strictly only wanted to build race cars. They originally built motorcycles, and they're like, well, now we want to build race cars. And the cars that they built went to score many victories in the Indianapolis 500. Like, they are
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, they are known in that community. They won races in the years 1922, 1924, 1925, and in 27.
When I think of a Duesenberg, I think of, like, the car Cruella de Vil drives.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those at the Indianapolis 500 is...
So, I wish I could show a picture of it. So it's literally, it looked exactly like that, except they took the wheel off the side of it, and the fender's parts.
Yeah.
So it was basically...
Oh, yeah, yeah, they just stripped it.
They stripped the outside of it, stuck the racing wheels on it, added the cover to the top of it for the driver... And that's what they raced in. They just put in a bigger motor.
The big levers on the outside.
Yeah, they just kept putting in a bigger motor every time they came up with something new. Like, yes. Hey, let's try this. Hey, let's try this one next time. The first one sold for $205,000.
And
that was in 1974. That was their first production car that they made for the public. Everything else they were making before then was just for racing. Now, today, in today's value, it's anywhere from $500,000 to $5 million. And that's depending on conditions, parts that you've got, how much of originality is left. So it's like, if you got one stored in your grandfather's barn in the backyard, literally sitting on a gold mine.
Oh, man. Yeah, and so apparently Duesenbergs, I've heard this from the J-Man himself. Apparently they were all built in the same year, like the production ones.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so expensive, like it took them years to sell them.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, they were selling them in, like, the Great Depression, and they cost.
No, and I saw something with that. I wasn't quite sure. So what's the SCCA? Is that like something
Sports
like
Car Club of America.
Okay, so they were actually in trouble with the SCCA because there was a law back then that like for you to have a race car, you also had to be able to sell.
Oh, like homologation.
Yeah.
It had to be homologated.
Yeah, but because the cars were so expensive, it's like, oh yeah, okay, you have the cars to sell, but
you have to sell
nobody
them.
Yeah, you literally like nobody can buy these, so you're only racing these cars. You parked them and then you're racing them. So they've gotten trouble with them, and the SCCA tried to stop them from racing, but they were like, but we're complying with the rules.
It doesn't say in the rules you got to sell them.
Pretty much.
I go on another tangent. We should do a thing about homologation cars.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'd be a whole topic.
But yeah, Duesenbergs, from my understanding, that was back when, like, they made the engine and the chassis and all that.
Well, I was just about to say something on it.
I'm jumping the gun.
Yeah, you are. So the Duesenberg brothers designed the first 8-cylinder engine with the intention of entering it into races. They were building this, knowing exactly what they were going to do with it. The perfect opportunity came in 1921 with the French Grand Prix. That was their first ever race. That was the first time they had it put together and were trying to race it. And it was the first major post-war racing event. So it's like, this was after the war happened. They put it together and they're like, all right, let's test this theory.
Line them up.
Pretty much. And then after that, it took off and they were racing since then. What?
Tell me the race car took off.
Yeah, the race car took off. The race actually ended up helping them sell cars because people saw that, and it successfully launched their first road car, the Straight 8, better known as the Model A.
Straight 8.
In 1921-26, the Model A had the largest production run of 650 cars. Sadly, though, you're only going to probably find 50 of them around today.
I was about to say, I didn't think they made that many.
Yeah, they made that many, but again, only 50, maybe 50 are around. Then they have another model called the Model J, and they were made between 1928 and 1937, and they sold 481 cars. Though those ones are probably only about 78 still around. So it's a few more than the Model A, but still nowhere near as many as when they first produced. Both totaled, for the Model A and the Model J, they had over 1,000 cars. Like, that was over 1,000 cars that they made for the public. And now there's less than 100 left.
Jeez.
The Model X was the rarest one that they had in their collection. They only made 13. And only 5 are still around, and they have them. They know exactly where those 5 cars are because there was. Those
I might have to Google that. That sounds sick.
Model X. It's the rarest one. It was the last one they made. The last race version that they made. And yeah, there's only 5 still around out of the 13 they originally made.
So my fun tangent is that all you had for Duesenberg?
That is all for Duesenberg.
So the term "that's a doozy." is referring to Duesenbergs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like whenever someone's like, oh, that's a doozy. Yeah. Like, I'm talking about Duesenbergs is where that started from.
Oh.
I don't know what that means, but.
Oh, it's like,
It's like, that's a heck of a thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, I heard.
Because Duesenbergs were heck of a things.
Yeah, think of a good sentence.
Yeah, I think they cost. Now, this is just going off like random YouTube stuff, but I think they cost like $25,000, like when they were like first selling them in the 30s, and like Model Ts were like $200. So like,
yeah,
I'm amazed they built 1,000 of them.
Yeah, no, I was honestly surprised because I was like, I knew there wasn't that many around, but then to know the sheer amount,
the volume of them,
yeah, that they made over 1,000 of them. But because nobody could buy them, so they probably sat and rotted away, or they took apart certain ones and used them for parts for other things, that there's less than 100 left now. Yeah. Like, it's kind of wild.
Yeah. Want one. If anyone has a Duesenberg, let me know.
Park it next to the...
Park it next to my Lamborghini.
I also picked a Rolls Royce. Are you wanting to do your Rolls Royce, or can I do my Rolls Royce?
Do yours. You're on a roll.
So I picked a specific Rolls Royce, not just in general. I picked the 1933 Phantom II. Yeah.
It's twice as many Phantoms as last year.
I thought it was the prettiest one of the collection. My personal favorite, the Phantom II was the third and last of their 40s and 50s HP models. I have no idea what that means, but it was the last one.
I wonder if that's true for high performance.
Is that
a thing?
I don't know. It said that's 40s that's and 50s weird. HP models.
That's weird. Wait, what was it? 30s and 50s?
40s and 50s HP model.
Maybe that's horsepower.
Is it horsepower?
It had like 50 horsepower or something?
I have no idea. Right. But you want to know what made it so popular?
What's that?
Is that it was the first left-hand drive.
Really?
Yeah. No, that's what made it so popular in the United States and Canada, is that it was the first left-hand drive Rolls-Royce.
Huh.
And I'm totally pronouncing it wrong, but...
No, I mean, I pronounce it Rolls-Royce.
Oh, you say it too? Okay. I say it like Royce. They made over 1,000 of these, 1,680 of them. But nobody kept tabs with where they ended up.
Yeah.
So it was hard. I wasn't able to find a number of how many are actually still out there or left. But they are still considered very valuable, even when back in the day when they were first made. Back then, again, with over 1,000 of these cars, they were valued around $199,500. Again, that was with over 1,000.
Yeah.
Today, you can't buy one for less than $2,310,000. And that's depending on the care of the car. Like, that's the bottom number. If the car's got rust or...
Yeah, been sitting in a barn for 50 years.
That's the low number. That's the lowest you're going to get for it. It's the 2,300,000. I can only imagine getting to see one of these in pristine condition.
I'm just trying to
a beautiful car.
I'm trying to think. Is that the one that the Peterson Museum has? They have an old Phantom. It might be a Phantom 1 or a Phantom 2, the one with the round doors.
That wasn't the Phantom 2.
That wasn't a Phantom 2?
No, Phantom 2 is more rectangular, I guess.
It's pointy.
Yeah.
So sharp it can cut you. Yeah, it's crazy, like, people finding those. But yeah, the Peterson, I don't know what Phantom it is, but they have an old Phantom that was, like, in a New Jersey junkyard
years. No, it's probably the Phantom one.
And it had round, like, perfectly round doors.
Yeah, no, that was Phantom.
I want any Phantom. So, I mean,
I think
that's it for part one of the fancy cars.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean,
yeah,
I didn't think about doing an outro. But yeah, if anyone has any Phantoms sitting in a junkyard, let me know. I'll take a look.
Yeah.
I just want a grill. I just want a Rolls grill. There was one. There's a junkyard.
You won't be able to afford a Rolls grill. They won't let you just take a part.
There's some on Marketplace for $3,000. Not Phantoms, but Cullen and Parks.
I swear. Don't you dare go spend $3,000 on just a grill.
No, whole car. No, there's a whole car with it.
Oh.
No, they don't work. But there was one time years ago.
Get the grill off of
it. It was probably like 5 years ago. That junkyard in Latson by the flea market.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. I don't like them anyway because they won't let you go back there. But they took some of their cars out they were trying to get rid of. And there was a stretched Rolls Royce. Where is it? Mullen and Park or something like that? The one that they made a bunch of. Yeah, they had a limousine one sitting there. And no one bought it, which I don't blame them. But
yeah, they probably wanted.
And the grill was already gone.
Yeah.
But anywho, we'll talk about Rolls-Royce again in part two of the Fancy Car Series. Thank you so much for listening to The Toolbox. I'm your host, Joe, and this is the other host, Raven.
Keep it cranking.
Yeah, like, someone closed my door for me. Jeez. This is 97.7. Bye.
Give a salute.
Yeah, come on, guys.
We thank you for staying tuned to The Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, The Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.